What a treat. What a treat. Curtis and Julie and Katie and Jeff, thank you. Thank you. Song for my father. I used to play piano by ear, and then I started using my hands. Dad jokes. Get ready. Get ready. This is a delightful day. I'm getting some feedback here. Thank you, Jason. I know you got your hands full today. Quickly give it up for Jason. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. So the Divine Masculine, song from my father. My father loved jazz. That's where I got my love for it. He also loved show tunes and all the other stuff. Mom was the classically trained. Dad had all the fun stuff. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about him in a little bit. But what I first want to talk about is thank you, Finn, referenced in the prayer this morning and in the Science of Mind reading. And I keep misplacing my glasses all day. But this is what Ernest Holmes says, what he defines as the divine masculine. It is the assertive principle of being. And I'll read it word for word that comes out of one of the earliest books, one of the early class teachings. He said, the masculine principle, the assertive principle of being, the self-conscious, not self-conscious in the way of, you know, am I wearing the right shoes, matching shoes today? The self-conscious of being aware, self-aware, self-propelling power of spirit. It motivates itself. That is the aspect, the masculine aspect of our being, of our consciousness. It is the projective principle of life, impregnating the universal soul, which is the divine feminine, with its ideas and concepts. The self-assertive spirit is in either God or humanity. And so you hear us, we talk about the macrocosm and the microcosm, okay? So it's in us. We have that self-assertive spirit within us. On the other side of it, the feminine principle is the universal soul. It is in us, it is the subjective or subconscious intelligence. It's the universal medium or the soul. It's been called the womb of nature, the Holy Mother, because of it is receptive to the spirit and is impregnated with the divine ideas. And of course, the divine feminine gives birth to the ideas of the spirit and is therefore the feminine principle of nature. But we are here to celebrate the masculine side, the power side. And as Finn referenced, in out of balance, it becomes dominating. It becomes destructive. But in balance, it is that thing. It is that moves us. It asserts itself so that it's that divine will. It's like that thing that says, go for it. Get out there and go for it. It's that little nagging on the shoulder that says, come on, you can do it. And it's also that little cheerleader, too, that says, yes, you can do this. I am handing you everything that you need for your highest and best expression of living, of expressing this divine idea. It's available now. So I'm that little nudge behind you, cheering you on all the way. The flip side of that, with when we can feel that push and we can go, oh, here's this divine idea and here's this, wow, that's really exciting, and oh my God, here come all my paradigms. Gonna shut me down. That's actually sinking into the feminine, getting comfortable in that area that says, you know what, things are okay like they are. That's the divine feminine out of balance, is saying, you know, I'm just gonna sit back here and be safe. That's what I do. So it is that practice of knowing, of course, we have to have balance in both. And we all have those aspects. We call it energy, we call that, but it is actually the two aspects of consciousness. And consciousness, if anybody can tell me where you can locate it in your body, please let me know. Most people early on, Descartes and everybody else said it's somewhere in the pineal gland, it's in the brain. Nobody knows where it is. It is the ineffable thing that we cannot pinpoint, but we know the feeling when we know that we know, when we understand it. We know sometimes without knowing why we know. That is consciousness. That is consciousness. I'm going to wait for that for a minute. How about another dad joke? There's my glasses again. Hi, come to me. Come to me. Yes, please, I heard that over there, Julie. I'm so good at sleeping, I can do it with my eyes closed. So I was looking up this beautiful divine masculine, that idea. And there, as everything has been researched to death, as you can well imagine, there has been research done on dad jokes. Why they work, why they make us laugh, why they make us cringe. And not only that, but why dads in particular continue to tell them. Okay? And it's the idea, because how many dads today? Show of hands. Uh-huh. I was going to say, what's your favorite dad joke, but you probably have a million of them, right? Or not. So it's the idea that it's really more of a self-satisfaction kind of thing to make your kids cringe. Not so much. Take notes as yours are growing. Teach them. I have a whole list, 150 of them. I'll give them to you. The joke about the ceiling. What's the joke about the ceiling?
It's over your
head. It's over my head. Divine masculine right there, y'all. It's that sense of joy. It's the simplicity of it. There's nothing, you know, that's whacking anything out sideways, you know, and you kind of think it's coming. It could be a little cringeworthy. Particularly my dad has a number of them that he starts telling a joke and it's like, oh God, where is he going with this? Right? Many of those I will not share with you today because not appropriate. But that divine masculine, that I keep coming back to the cheerleader portion of that. The power behind that, the power behind the one thing, whether you call it the Father God, I call it Mother Father God, both aspects of the divine, but that powerful side, the creative idea, it's that, in human form, it's that, here, watch this, hold my beer, right? I'm going to try this thing, it's cringeworthy, you kind of know it's coming, and you're like, ugh, I'm just going to stand over here, you do that thing. But when it succeeds, right, when that whatever that thing is that they're about to do, it's like that, whoa, look what I just did. I've gotten some of that from my dad. I'll just say that. Is that you're willing to kind of go over the cliff a little bit, to step out of your comfort zone, to move into the unknown. And when it works, it's awesome. That's the idea behind this, is step out here. I'm gonna show you, I'm going to give you, I'm going to put the step underneath you when you do this so that the next one will be even more incredible and more incredible and more incredible. There's two men in my life, my dad and my father-in-law. And Linda, if you would go ahead, please. This is my father-in-law. Cindy's dad. Oh, yeah. That says it all. Okay? That's actually both her parents are just delightful people. And the thing that meant the most to me about him when he was dying of cancer, pancreatic cancer, and Cindy was out there with him for a few months as he was moving through that process, he decided to hold church one time on his own from his bed, his hospice bed at home. And I was not there. I was back here in Texas holding down the fort, and Cindy had called me ahead of time, said, he wants to do this. He would like you to pray with our family. My family has never yet asked me to pray with them. So it was a big deal. It was a huge deal. I was like, what? Yeah, sure. What do I say? And it was delightful. And the coolest part that I will remember for the rest of my life is that she put him on speakerphone and she showed him in the bed, and what he said was, "There's my daughter-in-law." Yeah. Yeah. So he passed in 2017, actually just a few months before my mom did. But that I was at their anniversary with the whatever it was. It was probably had something to do with the casino, rainbow wig, crown. There's Dad. Birthday party. Some I think he has a boa on there. I think you can see the color on that as well. So happy birthday, happy birthday, happy Father's Day to my father-in-law Chuck Malanzi. I love you, sweetie. Yeah. So we can move on to the next one, Linda, please. Oh, I'm sorry. There it is. There's my dad. This was his 85th birthday party this past November. My dad, he's been that champion for me. He's been that that go-for-it kind of person. I remember 30, probably 25-some years ago, and I was still living in Georgia, and my parents came to visit. And I had some friends that had this beautiful bed and breakfast that they stayed at. And there's my dad talking up the proprietors. And I overhear him saying, "Well, yeah, well, Kit could be the mayor of this town." And I was like, I was like, I don't want to. Wait, where's this coming from? But that level, I know that he was always really good at telling me how proud he was of me and that I could do anything in the world. And we've certainly had our differences over the years of, you know, just different things and going through different phases of our lives. And, you know, just as life goes on, as we get older, as we learn things, as we become wiser, and as I changed from being a very obedient Catholic to here I am now.
Come along, my daddy.
Thank you. Thank you. And the really cool thing is that... Oh, I almost forgot to put this on. I don't know if you all heard, but I'm official. I'm official now. Oops, there we go. There it is. For those of you who are not familiar with this, this is the Science of Mind teaching symbol. And I'm going to use this as the example, the circle being the infinite. Divided into three parts, the top, the divine masculine, the divine idea, the first cause. The middle section is the divine feminine, the womb of nature, and the bottom is manifest form. That's what that represents. And the V going in is coming from spirit into form. That's what that is. This is a very simple version of this. Okay. And the coolest thing, one of the other coolest things, when this happened, my process, I've been in the science of mind teaching, religious science, since 1998. I didn't go to my first Center for Spiritual Living until 2001 when I moved to Texas. Didn't know what a practitioner was, didn't know anything about it other than I found this Ernest Holmes person who, you know, in the grander scheme of the one world, yes, we are related. By genealogy, no, haven't found it yet. But and I've told this story before, but those of you who know Ricky Byers, we do, I Release is our closing song. We were in Asilomar at the conference in Asilomar in California in 2010, and I had the pleasure of playing piano for Ricky Byers for a coffee house concert, and we had this long discussion afterwards, and she finally said to me, she said, "Kit, are you related?" And I started to launch into this long story about it, and she just put her hand on my shoulder, and she said, "Kit, just say yes." I said, "Okay." So yes, I'm related to Ernest Holmes. this process, the divine masculine, the push, and the wanting to pull back, and the growth spurt, and the wanting to pull back, and the growth spurt, and the wanting to go pull back, culminated in this. And that place of hearing my dad's voice say, "I am so proud of you," that place of hearing my mom towards the end of her life in dementia, she got to the side where that's all she would say to me is, "I love you and I'm proud of you." It was quite a switch from most of my life. And it was delightful to hear. And I said, I'm just going to take it. Whether she remembers she said it or not, I don't care. But knowing that we are lifted up, knowing that we are supported with everything that we need in every single moment of this life, by tuning in, getting quiet in the prayer and in the reading, separating ourselves from the noise of the world, standing aside and taking a breath and connecting and saying, I trust that there is something. There is something so much wiser, so infinitely generous and loving, unconditionally loving, always there available, that we just have to take a breath and remember it's there. And then the second part is remember that we have that in us. It is what lives us. And we can shut it off all we want. As I said, you know, if we find ourselves in, you know, financial dire straits or relationship stuff, and it is that settling into that place that says, you know what, I'm just going to stay safe and it's okay. We are not using that masculine power to step into the next thing that will bring us everything that we say we want. But on the other hand, we're afraid of getting, are we not? Sometimes we're afraid of getting. It's like, oh my God, what if I get everything I want? Then what? There's got to be a good dad joke in there somewhere. Let me look. Hang on. Okay. What did the janitor say when he jumped out of the closet? What? Supplies! We are supplied all the time. How'd you like that? I get that from my dad. I get that from my dad, that sense of timing, be able to put that together. The most beautiful thing, in addition to hearing, here's my daughter-in-law, from her dad, was a couple weeks ago when my dad and I were playing phone tag, and I finally talked to him. I called him, and he actually answered the phone instead of going to the answering machine, and he picked up the phone, and he said, hey, Reverend. That was huge. That was huge. He knows without being so involved, without controlling, without pushing, without doing anything, just essentially letting me be. Our source, that divine, powerful Mother, Father, God, does the same thing with us. It stands behind us, it stands under us, it moves in and through and as us, and it stands there and it says, whenever you're ready, I got everything you need. Everything you need. Anything, any idea. It's right here. And in the meantime, I'm going to keep sort of nudging you along, just to let you know I'm here. Just say, hey, reminding you, I'm here. And we all know that every now and then we get the big, okay, I'm here, pay attention, cosmic 2x4. Wake up. Wake up. I am trying to give you the life that you are asking for. Wake up. Let me do the driving. Ask for directions. You got it. It took you a minute. There is that map, there is that roadmap, we know that. We just have to tune into it. You can put the picture back up of my dad if you would, Linda, thank you. I went off tangent like I always do, it's okay, I hope. Yes? Okay, checking. Checking. So as I said, this was at his 85th birthday party in November, this past November, and we were singing Blue Moon. And Cindy took that picture. And that is, it's a frameable, that's going up on the wall. That position that he's in of that leaning over, that's usually the, I'm about to tell you a dad joke. I'm about to tell you a story. I'm about to make you cringe until I switch directions and realize he doesn't go there. He never goes there. You've heard him. We were sitting at that party, and my dad started a joke, and the room went silent. Pop is speaking. like, oh, God. Oh, God. And I wish I could remember it, because it was lengthy, as they usually are, long dad stories. And he got to the end of it, and it was like, oh, my God, it was hilarious. It was hilarious. So I don't have much more to say about the divine masculine other than that's the simple aspect of it. That's the simple aspect of spirit. It is really quite simple. It is the all in the all. It is the everything, and we have access to it. Just getting quiet and hearing what that is. And oftentimes we will get in that place. It's like, well, I don't know. I don't know what's next. Everything is available and in front of me and open to me now. And I go, yay. You know that. You know it's there. You get to create it. That's the other part of this. That's the other part of this teaching. We don't sit back and just go, okay, life is happening to me. Well, we do sometimes. I do sometimes until I remember. No, it's not. Life is happening for me. It is always in our favor. It is always in our favor to access and say, okay, I got this little piece of information. I am going to take action. I'm going to put my divine masculine in to work, the impulsion to do the next thing. And I'm going to listen. And then I'm going to balance with the wisdom of the feminine. And I'm going to listen with the gentle place, the open, being receptive to it. And then I'm going to take the next step. And I'm going to take the next step. And I'm going to be in this beautiful dance my entire life. And we do that just by getting quiet, being aware. Dad joke. I know this one on top, but I don't have to look at the paper. I want to tell you a joke about a pizza, but it's kind of cheesy. Said to my dad, "Dad, did you get a haircut?" He said, "No, I got all of them cut." How many of you heard that? I heard that one all the time. "I'm afraid for the calendar. Its days are numbered." That groan is, that's it. It's perfect. It. Some of them are actually really funny. "I ordered a chicken and an egg from Amazon. I'll get back to you." I like that. That's a pretty new one. That's a relatively new one. "How does the salad say grace?" "Let us pray." I'm going to see if, okay. "What did the fish say when he hit the wall?" "Damn." "Damn." There you go. There you go. Oh, man. Bless all of you. Bless all of you fathers, grandfathers, uncles, brothers. Bless all of you women who more than once have had to dip deeply into the masculine side to get things done. Bless all of you on this day where we honor that, we celebrate it, we laugh about it with lots of dad jokes. And happy Father's Day to my dad. And I know that sometimes my sister gets him plugged into the service. And if he doesn't, I'm going to send him the link today. I love to tell dad jokes. And sometimes he laughs. I love to tell dad jokes. And sometimes he laughs. Bless you all. I'm going to ask Curtis to come up and we'll just go into a brief meditation. So I invite you with a smile on your face and allowing that energy to move through you. Just get settled in. And take a deep breath. And as you land in that heart space, feeling it open, feeling yourselves breathe into that love, that joy. And even if you had a difficult relationship, a challenging relationship with a father figure, breathe into that space as well as you can of gratitude for his part in bringing you to this life. Whether you knew him or not, whether you had someone who was not your biological father, but you called dad with a full heart, if it was a grandfather, an older brother, an uncle, or a mom who did both jobs, welcome them in. Welcome him into that place where he said he was proud of you. Where he said, I love you, and you knew he meant it. You knew he meant it to that place that you could feel it and you could trust it. And you knew that everything was going to be okay. I invite you to say in your heart, thank you. Say, thank you, Spirit. Thank you, God, for bringing that person into my life, for bringing me into this world, for raising me up, holding me up. Knowing that sometimes I might have been up in that tree looking for peace. Looking for a way out of the noise and commotion and disruption in the house. And simply sending a blessing to that person saying, I know you did the best you could with what you had at the time and the level of consciousness and the level of awareness you had. You did the best you could. And if you find that challenging, I invite you to breathe into that tension or anxiety and turn it over. Let it go to that larger divine masculine, that strength that can carry that burden for you. Breathe deeply. And let the music of your soul, let that song of love, let that song of gratitude, let that song of joy bubble up in and through and around your heart. And simply say thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Spirit. Thank you, Dad. And so it is.